As we continue our study in the book of Proverbs, we're still in the first chapter, and last time we'd gotten through the 22nd verse. In this part of the chapter, he's talking to the young person and warning them against going in the way of sinners. Do not be enticed by sinners, he says. Verses 20 through 22 say, "Wisdom crieth without. She uttereth her voice in the streets. She crieth in the chief places of concourse, in the openings of the gates. In the city she uttereth her words, saying, How long, ye simple ones, will ye love simplicity? And the scorners delight in their scorning, and the fools hate knowledge." So wisdom is crying. It's crying out in the public places. There are public teachers given this wisdom. It's found in the divine revelation of God, from God's word. It's found in the civil governments as we obey the laws of the land. It's found by the instruction given by parents to their children. And it's found in a good conscience. And this wisdom is directed primarily to three classes of people. To the simple, that is the ignorant, the unlearned. To the scorners, those that scorn at the teaching of God. And to the fools, those that hate knowledge, those that run from knowledge. And so he asked, how long are you going to wait before you obey my word? And so he invites them to repent and to turn from their ways to the ways of God. Verse 23 says, "Turn you at my reproof. Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you. I will make known my words unto you." The word reproof means to rebuke. The message is very plain. Turn at my rebuke. God's wisdom brings a rebuke against the sinner, brings an indictment against sin that demands repentance. The purpose of the rebuke is not just to make the sinner look bad, but the purpose of the rebuke is to cause one to turn from sin to that which is good. That is the reason for the rebuke. Turn, that is return to your right mind. Turn to God, turn to your duty, turn and live. And the one who does repent, the one who does turn, God promises to give his spirit. "Behold, I will pour out my spirit unto you," he says. God will give the essence of true wisdom, which is found in divine revelation. God will give you the power to do that which you cannot do alone. "Stretch forth thy withered limbs, and Christ will heal thee. Then take up thy bed and walk." This power of God, this grace of God, is the Spirit, and he promises, "I will pour out my Spirit unto you as water, as rivers of living water." John 7, 38, 39, "He that believeth on me, as the Scripture has said, out of his belly shall flow rivers of living water. But this spake he of the Spirit, which they that believe on him should receive." We are told here that our Heavenly Father will give the Spirit, the Holy Spirit, to those that repent at his word. This grace comes through his word, which if we take it right, it will turn us. So he says, "If you turn, I will make known my words unto you. Not only are they spoken to you, but I will make them known to you. I will give you the ability to understand them." The grace of God will never be denied to any who honestly seek God's word and submit to it. Now, after inviting them to hear and repent, he tells them what will be the result if they do not hear and do not repent, verses 24 through 32. Let us read verses 24 through 27. "Because I have called and you refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded, but ye have set at naught all my counsel and would none of my reproof. I will also laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. When your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you." They were in love with their sinful ways, and would not be made wise. They had hardened themselves to all the methods that were used to call them to repentance. Although the wisdom of God is the greatest of all wisdom, and the love of God is the greatest of all love, they rejected all his efforts. He says, "Because I have called and ye have refused, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded," verse 24. So the words of God, as found in our Bibles, are actually the way God calls us. How we regard these words, how we regard this call, is how we regard God. For the masses to disregard God is nothing new. Here he says, I have stretched out my hand and no man regarded. Do we disregard when God stretches forth his hand to us? These words of God are his counseling to show us how to live. These are words of advice given to turn us poor ignorant fools into the wise children of God. But ye have said it not all my counsel, and would none of my reproof, he says, verse 25. His wise counsel was treated as if it were some sort of jest, something not worth taking notice of. Those who are deaf to the counsel and correction of God are headed for ruin. In Romans 2, verses 4 and 5, or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and longsuffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance? But after thy hardness and impenitent heart treasurest up unto thyself wrath against the day of wrath, and revelation of the righteous judgment of God, who will render unto every man according to his deeds. Sinners are now in prosperity and security. They live at ease and give no thought to the desires and judgment of God. But their misery will come. Verse 26 says, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Sinners who are indifferent to God's will and who mock God by their actions will eventually be mocked by God and will be abandoned by God in their time of greatest need, when the punishments after the judgment day come upon them. They will eventually have fear. Those who do not fear God will eventually have many other things to fear, such things as death and the eternal punishment of the wicked. In verse 27 he says, when your fear cometh as a desolation, and your destruction cometh as a whirlwind, when distress and anguish cometh upon you. It is not if fear comes, it is when your fear comes. The words we find in these verses, calamity, terror, destruction, distress, and anguish, all these terms describe the severe troubles of divine judgment. When sinners who have rejected God's wisdom call upon God in the day of judgment, God will simply laugh at them and mock them. Just as a tornado comes without warning, with sudden destruction and devastation, that's the way the end of the sinner will be. Romans 2, verses 8 through 11, But unto them who are contentious, and do not obey the truth, but obey in righteousness, indignation and wrath, tribulation and anguish upon every soul of man that doeth evil, of the Jew first, and also to the Gentile. But glory, honor, and peace to every man that worketh good, to the Jew first, and also the Gentile. For there is no respect of persons with God. And so God says in this 26th verse, I also will laugh at your calamity. I will mock when your fear cometh. Not if it comes, but when it comes. Now God is ready to hear their cry. He is ready to extend mercy and forgiveness. He's begging them to repent. But then the door will be shut, and they shall cry in vain. Verse 28 says, Then shall they call upon me, but I will not answer. They shall seek me early, but they will not find me. As the 10 foolish virgins of Matthew 25 came too late, saying, Lord, Lord, open to us. But he answered and said, Verily I say unto you, I know you not. They would gladly now have the mercy that they had so carelessly rejected. But I will not answer, he says. When God called, they would not answer him. Now his only answer will be, Depart from me, I know you not. Those who have rejected God will eventually seek him early or earnestly. But it'll be in vain. They shall not find me, he says, because they sought him not when he might be found. In Isaiah 55, verse 6, Seek ye the Lord while he may be found. Call upon him while he is near. Remember, the rich man in hell begged, but was denied. He gives again the reason for their great trouble. The reason he refused to hear them, verse 29, For they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord. They hated this knowledge because it pointed out their evil deeds. John 3:20, For everyone that doeth evil hateth the light, neither cometh to the light, lest his deeds should be reproved. They did not want to face the eventual ruin they were headed for because of their evil ways. They could have chosen to walk according to God's will, but they did not choose the fear of the Lord, he says. But they chose to walk in the way of their own mind, and their own lust led them. The call was to follow God, but they rejected the call. They chose rather to cast God aside. Those who do not choose the fear of the Lord have no knowledge. Their actions are very unwise, very foolish. Verse 30 says, they would none of my counsel, they despised all my reproof. This verse is actually referring to the rejection of God by sinners. God will withdraw his invitation to sinners because they rejected him. There's coming a time when the invitation will no longer be there. Verse 31 says, therefore they shall eat of the fruit of their own way and be filled with their own devices. They will be paid according to their works, is what he's saying. Galatians 6, 7, and 8, be not deceived. God is not mocked. For whatsoever a man soweth, that shall he also reap. For he that soweth to his flesh shall of the flesh reap corruption. He that soweth to the Spirit shall of the Spirit reap life everlasting. The very thing they place the most value upon shall actually bring about their ruin. They highly prize the material possessions of this world, but if that is all they have, then they will perish. Verse 32 says, for the turning away of the simple shall slay them, and the prosperity of fools shall destroy them. The words slay and destroy are very powerful words. They convey a very important message to sinners. Turning away actually means the waywardness of the simple shall destroy them. Prosperity actually means the complacency of fools shall destroy them. They want to go another way instead of God's way. This will eventually slay them. They think prosperity will give security and ease, but this kind of security alone means sure eternal destruction. Verse 33, but whoso hearkeneth unto me shall dwell safely, and shall be quiet from the fear of evil. Now we have the results of those who do seek after God's knowledge. They hearken, they hear, they shall dwell safely, he says. No false security or temporary benefits. No harm in this life will be real harm to them. Even physical death is the beginning of eternal bliss. He shall not only be safe from evil, but shall be quiet from the fear of it. Psalm 46:2, therefore will we not fear, though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. He shall be free from the anxiety caused by fear. Would we be safe from evil and quiet from the fear of it? Let the word of God be our counselor. Let his will rule us. That is the way to dwell safely in this world, and to be quiet from the fear of evil in the next world. But not so for those who reject the counsel of God. So we bring the first chapter of Proverbs to a close.